जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी,
जय राधा
जय राधा माधव कुंज
बिहारी
जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे
राधा
जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद नितय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नितय गौर हरि बोल जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवा सादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय गंगा मई की जय यमुना मई की जय भक्ति देवी की जय तुलसी महारानी की जय जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय द्वारकापुरी धाम की जय मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय युग धर्म हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जय श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 10, Battle between the Demigods and Vritrasura, Text 9. Etavan अव्ययः धर्मः पुण्यश्लोकैः उपासितः यः भूत शोक हर्षाभ्याम् आत्मा शोचति हृष्यति एतावान् अव्ययो धर्मः
एतावान् अभ्ययो धर्मः
पुण्यश्लोकैरुपासितः
पुण्यश्लोकैरुपासितः
यो भूतशोकहर्षाभ्याम् आत्मा शोचति हृष्यति एतावान् अव्ययो धर्मः पुण्यश्लोकैरुपासितः
यो
भूतशोकहर्षाभ्याम् आत्मा शोचति हृष्यति एतावान् अव्ययो धर्मः पुण्यश्लोकैरुपासितः
यो
भूतशोकहर्षाभ्याम् आत्मा शोचति हृष्यति एतावान् This much, avyayaha, imperishable, dharmaha, religious principle, punya shlokaihi, by famous persons who are celebrated as pious, upasitaha, recognized, yaha, which, bhuta, of the living beings, shoka, by the distress, harshabhyam, and by the happiness, Atma, the mind, Shochati, laments, Hrishyati, feels happiness. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. If one is unhappy to see the distress of other living beings and happy to see their happiness, his religious principles are appreciated as imperishable by exalted persons who are considered pious and benevolent. So kindly repeat after me. If one is unhappy
to see the distress
of other living beings and happy to see their happiness
His religious principles
are appreciated
as imperishable
by exalted persons
who are considered
pious and benevolent. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be back with all of you at the VIHE in Vrindavan. I suppose you are all scattered throughout the globe. And not just in Vrindavan, But nevertheless, thanks to technology, we are able to connect to Sri Vrindavan Dham. And I think, Prashanta Mataji, you are in Vrindavan in the VIHE, physically?
Yes, Maharaj, we are in the VIHE.
Okay.
We have about 40 devotees here in your class, Maharaj, and they belong to Bhakti Vaibhav groups and Bhakti Vedanta groups, as well as Bhakti Sadachar, which is a pre-Bhakti Shastri group. And we also have a few devotees who are from previous batches who are joining regularly.
Okay, so welcome and greetings to all of you, wherever you're joining from. And I'm sure that you have discovered it a great blessing and fortune to be connected to the VIHE. And I'm sure you've learned so many things through the various courses that you have attended there, whether they are you attended them physically or online. Prashanta Mataji and her team have been doing very, very dedicated service, wonderful service for many, many years, and it is indeed a great service to our movement, because spiritual education is one of the very important parts of our movement. Unless we are all very clear about the fundamentals of our philosophy and practice, then how can we become successful in our spiritual lives? So thank you very much to all of you at the VIHE for all that you are doing for the well-being of all the devotees at large. So today the topic is compassion. I don't know how it will go in terms of eagerness. I'm eager to speak on eagerness also, but the topic of compassion is also quite extensive. So we will see how it goes. We have basically two lectures today and then in a few days from now. So I have chosen this verse from the 6th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th chapter, the battle between the demigods and Vritrasura. The episode that is going on here is that the demigods have been advised to approach the sage Dadhichi, because Dadhichi can give them a weapon made from his own body, the bones of his own body, and that weapon will enable the demigods to defeat the demons. And as you know, there is always a battle between the demigods and demons for the rulership of the universe. Sometimes the demons are victorious and sometimes the demigods. So in this case, the demigods were on the losing side and they very much wanted help. So they approached sage Dadhichi. And initially Dadhichi refused, but as he reveals later, he wanted the demigods to speak about religious principles. And he's very glad to hear about that. And then he speaks these words. And he tells them that the principle of avyaya dharmaha is of imperishable dharma, is that one should always feel happy to see the happiness of others, and one should be unhappy to see the distress of others. And he calls this an imperishable religious principle. So we can see that Krishna consciousness is not just a sectarian, narrow-minded kind of a religious path. Krishna consciousness describes universal, non-sectarian values and principles and ideas. For example, here in this verse, can the idea that one should feel distress at the distress of others be considered a narrow-minded idea, a sectarian idea? Or to feel happiness at the happiness of others? Can it be ascribed to any one particular kind of ideology? No. Of course, it is another question. what real happiness is. When we say that we feel the happiness and the happiness of others, the other person may have a very distorted idea of happiness. Someone, for example, may be reveling in intoxication and think that he's feeling happy. So the dharmic principle does not permit one to feel happy at that kind of happiness. So the phrase that is mentioned here needs clarification, it needs qualification. So perhaps we'll do that as we go along today. But suffice it to say, to start with, that we are speaking about the principle of compassion. Compassion means, as Srila Prabhupada explains in one purport in the fifth canto, that one should feel sympathy for the distress of other living beings, of all living beings. A very simple kind of definition. We are familiar with this word compassion. So one feels sympathy for them. In other words, one feels for them. That is important. So, unless one feels for others, it is not possible to have compassion. And in the verse just previous to the one that we have read just now, Dadhichi says, "O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher causes of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings." So therefore, the first point that Dadhichi makes in this verse is that one must have compassion for the suffering of humanity, number one, and number two, that one must be willing to make great sacrifices, even the sacrifice of one's temporary material body, for this purpose, for the cause of this higher religious principle. And if one does not do that, one becomes an object of pity even for immovable living beings. So we can see how important this principle of compassion is. So, coming now to the verse that we read out today, the purport is very long, so I will not read the entire purport, but I will just try to give the important points that Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in the purport. Srila Prabhupada says that in this verse, real religious principles are explained. Everyone should be unhappy to see others in distress and happy to see others happy. So simple. Atmavat sarva bhuteshu. One should feel the happiness and distress of others as his own. It is on this basis that the Buddhist religious principle of non-violence, ahimsa parama dharmaha, is established. We feel pain when someone disturbs us, and therefore we should not inflict pain upon other living beings. Unquote. So, compassion has been established in the Bhagavatam and confirmed by Srila Prabhupada as being a very important religious principle. And Srila Prabhupada here invokes the idea of Atmavat Sarva Bhuteshu. In modern language or in English, we could say do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And Prabhupada explains that by saying, just as we feel pain when others disturb us, we should not be the cause of pain for others. And further, Srila Prabhupada elaborates that by avoiding violence to human beings, it doesn't mean one is permitted to commit violence towards animals and other living entities. So Srila Prabhupada says, one cannot continue killing animals and at the same time be a religious man. That is the greatest hypocrisy. And then further down in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, This verse clearly says that one should be compassionate to all living beings, regardless of whether human, animal, tree or plant. All living entities are sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then towards the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, a Vaishnava therefore is truly a perfect person because he laments to see others unhappy and feels joy at seeing others happy. A Vaishnava is paradukha dukhi. He is always unhappy to see the conditioned souls in an unhappy state of materialism. Therefore, a Vaishnava is always busy preaching Krishna consciousness throughout the world. So, this is the idea of compassion. It is a natural byproduct, or a natural symptom, shall we say, of one who is a cultured person, a one who follows dharmic principles, of true religious principles. What then to speak of a devotee, and even more so of an exalted pure devotee, for whom such dharmic principles become automatically manifest. So if an ordinary dharmic person is supposed to reflect this quality of compassion in his or her conduct, then how much more this will be obligatory on our part as devotees to be compassionate to everybody, to all living entities. And for one who is actually a devotee, a true devotee, compassion will automatically be there. Now, in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about the divine and the demoniac natures. And interestingly, he mentions that these are qualities that appear at the birth of an individual. Bhavanti sampadam daivim abhijatasya bharata, O sign of Bharata, O Arjuna. These divine qualities, sampadam refers to the qualities, daivim refers to divine or transcendental. So these transcendental qualities are there from birth. Abhijatasya, you have been born with the, are born with, the birth of that individual. And daya bhuteshu is one of these 26 qualifications mentioned. So in the very first part of the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna outlines 26 divine or transcendental qualities, which Srila Prabhupada explains actually are born out of activities in the mode of goodness. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada also refers to them as transcendental qualities. I will read a certain section of the purport of Srila Prabhupada therein. He says, all these 26 qualifications mentioned are transcendental qualities. They should be cultivated according to the different statuses of social and occupational order. The purport is that even though material conditions are miserable, if these qualities are developed by practice, by all classes of men, then gradually it is possible to rise to the highest platform of transcendental realization, unquote. So the first point to be mentioned here is that these qualities or qualifications are transcendental, number one. And number two, that despite the condition of the material world being full of misery, one should strive to develop these qualities by practice, even if one doesn't have them manifestly, one should actually practice developing them, cultivating them. And one of these qualities that is mentioned here is daya bhuteshu, mercy or compassion towards all living entities. Now, sometimes devotees ask this question when referring to the transcendental qualities that are inherent in the person of a pure devotee. And they say like qualities like compassion or humility or forgiveness, tolerance. Now, these are not there naturally in me. So, we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam that these qualities will naturally develop when we do Krishna consciousness. So why should we artificially strive to be so? Now, the answer is that it is certainly true that as we become Krishna conscious, progressively these divine qualities will indeed manifest in our person, in our character. However, that takes a little time. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens by steady, lifelong, dedicated, resolute practice. Then these qualities will actually progressively appear in that person. However, in the meantime, are we going to wait for years and years for us to develop these qualities in the automatic course of events with Krishna consciousness? And are we then going to act in a not so humble way or not so compassionate way because we don't naturally feel like being humble or compassionate? So Srila Prabhupada has given the answer in the purport that I just read, which is that these qualities have to be developed by practice. So even if one thinks that one is not born with these qualities as Arjuna was, never mind. One has the good fortune now to come in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement, and therefore one is obliged or one is duty bound as a devotee to develop these qualities by practice. So in other words, we must practice being humble, we must practice being forgiving and tolerant. Similarly, we must practice being compassionate. And side by side with our regular practice of chanting and hearing and so on, these good qualities will automatically also increase. And when devotees ask the question that won't these qualities come automatically by practice of Krishna consciousness, the answer also is that practicing to develop these qualities is also part of the practice of Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna consciousness does not mean only to chant Hare Krishna and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. It means, amongst numerous other activities, that one must practice developing qualities like compassion, humility, forgiveness, etc. So, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned this very, very important point here, that we should try to develop this spirit of compassion for all living entities. In the Bhagavad Gita, we also see in the very first chapter that Arjuna becomes very compassionate. And when he sees his relatives on the battlefield in such a fighting mood, his limbs start quivering and his mouth dries up. And he tells Krishna that he cannot fight anymore. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport there explains that a devotee has all the good qualities found in exalted personalities and in demigods. And Arjuna was overwhelmed by compassion, not only for the soldiers who were fighting in his party, that is in his army, but also for the soldiers who were in the opposite camp, because they were facing imminent death. So, he was also crying, Prabhupada says, but he was crying and these other symptoms were appearing in his body not out of weakness or cowardice, but out of compassion. Such symptoms of Arjuna, Srila Prabhupada says, are not a sign of weakness, but due to his soft-heartedness, which is the characteristic of a pure devotee. And later also in the beginning of the second chapter, tam tatha kripaya avishtam, kripaya avishtam. So Arjuna, with his heart full of compassion, his mind depressed, His eyes full of tears, that was the condition in which Madhusudan or Krishna saw him, and then Krishna began to speak. So in this way, Arjuna's compassion has been revealed right in the beginning of the first chapter and of the Bhagavad Gita. Now, Arjuna is of course an eternal associate of the Lord. So he can never actually be under ignorance, truly speaking. But he has been placed in this situation for fulfilling Krishna's purpose of revealing transcendental knowledge to the whole world. So Arjuna has been used as an instrument in this purpose. Now, there are some very interesting things that one can explain in when it comes to practicing devotional service in compassion. How should it appear in our day-to-day activities? Of course, we should be compassionate towards to start with. We shouldn't kill animals, we shouldn't eat. That all of us are very well aware of. And Prabhupada says we should be kind and compassionate even to the insects, even to the trees and plants. You know, be kind even to the mosquitoes. It's natural when you're living in a place where there's so many mosquitoes, we tend to swat them and kill them. But it is better to sleep in a mosquito net and, you know, avoid or use some mosquito repellents rather than trying to kill them. And actually, when you look at the mosquitoes in that way, that these are also living entities and they are acting according to their nature in the mode of ignorance. So one should not feel anger towards them and one should not feel hatred towards them. One could even try to be kind to the mosquitoes. Of course, in times of diseases like dengue and so on, one has to also protect one's own health, so one has to take the required precautions in this process. But apart from that, when it comes to dealing with human beings, yes, it is not that one must be compassionate only to the devotees, one has to be compassionate to all. And even when one sees suffering on the street, yes, one should feel that suffering. Now, what the root cause of the suffering is and what the actual solution is, that requires Krishna conscious understanding. But nevertheless, the principle that one should be kind and compassionate and feel for them is important. And accordingly, one's behavior should be molded. Now, in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni advises Dhruva. Dhruva Maharaj has embarked on a very ambitious project. He wants to have a kingdom that is even larger than his forefathers, like Brahma. And for that purpose, he goes to the forest to perform austerities and obtain this boon from the Supreme Lord. On the way, he is met by Narad Muni, who has been dispatched by the Supreme Lord himself to preach to Dhruva. And Narad Muni tells him some nice instructions in his attempt to persuade Dhruva to go back home. And one of the things he says is, Gunadhikam mudam lipsed anukrosham gunadhamad maitrim samanad anvichen na tapair abhibhuyate. Na tapair abhibhuyate. If one wants to be not affected by the threefold miseries, tapa means the miseries of this material world. Na abhibhuyate. If one wants to be not affected by them, then one has to conduct oneself in this way. In what way? By dealing with three categories of people in different ways. The first is gunadhikam. One who has better qualities than us, one who is more qualified than us, then lipsed one should feel mudam joy, happiness. One should feel happiness when one meets somebody or sees somebody who is more qualified than oneself. Second, guna dhamad. Adhama means lower. Guna. So one who is lower in qualities than us, in other words, one who is not as qualified as oneself. Anukrosham. One should feel compassion for that person. And third, samanat. For one who is equal, one who is our peer in qualification or in qualities. Anvichhen. One should desire maitrin. Maitri means friendship. A very amenable, kind of a favorable, friendly mood towards such people. So the three kinds of people are those who are more qualified than us, those who are more or less equal to us, and those who are less qualified than us. And we should deal with them in different ways. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that, however, the general nature of people in this world is quite the opposite. The materialistic mentality is that when one meets somebody more qualified than oneself, one feels envious of that person. And one thinks, why does this person have more of this than I do? Why is this person more qualified or more successful or more elevated than me? So we start feeling envious. When we meet somebody who is less qualified than us, we try to become oppressive in our behavior. We become angry at that person sometime if that person doesn't behave in a way that we want. And when we meet somebody who is equal to us, who is our peer, then instead of being friendly, we become proud of our own achievements and we tend to boast of what we have done. So Srila Prabhupada says that behavior of this nature is the cause of material tribulations. Therefore Narad Muni advises that instead of being envious when one sees somebody more qualified than oneself, instead of being envious one should be jolly. When one sees somebody who is equal, instead of boasting, one should actually feel friendship. And for those who are less qualified than us, instead of feeling angry and acting in an oppressive way, one should feel kind and compassionate towards that person. Now, this is a very important point with regard to compassion, because anger or oppressive behavior is, shall we say, the perverted reflection of compassion. Now we all know that transcendental qualities exist in their original pure state in the spiritual world, in the original pure soul. However, when the spirit soul forgets its own identity as eternal servant of Krishna and is caught up in the material world and is under the clutches of the three modes of material nature, then one actually starts acting in ways that are quite opposite to one's original spiritual nature. So we have all heard of the six enemies, like lust, greed, anger, envy, pride, illusion. Now each of these exist in the material world and they have the original equivalent, so to speak, or the corresponding element in the spiritual world in its pure form. Just like envy exists here, but in the spiritual world it exists in the form of appreciation. Pride exists here in the material world, but in the spiritual world it exists in the form of humility. Lust exists here in this material world, but it exists in the form of pure love in the spiritual world. Greed exists here in the material world, but in the spiritual world it exists in the form of as being completely satisfied in Krishna's service and in being simple. Similarly, anger that exists here exists in the spiritual world as compassion, as feeling very kind towards everyone. Now, these spiritual qualities can appear in the material world by practice of Krishna consciousness and initially at least by the cultivation of the mode of goodness. And then gradually we will see that our anger will reduce. Many times devotees ask the question also that they have moods where they become very angry. Many people have bouts of anger which sometimes become uncontrollable. Anger management issues in people. So, compassion is the antidote to anger. So when we practice the quality of compassion or of trying to be kind to anybody and everybody, then we will be able to overcome the anger. Of course, anger is another topic in itself, and we will not go into detail in that, in this topic right now. But suffice it to say that the idea that we must be compassionate has to be cultivated and be there in the, on the top of our mind. Then we will actually succeed in attracting the mercy of Lord Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, Bhakti Yoga, Krishna also describes the qualities of a devotee. Adveshta sarvabhutanam maitraha karuna evacha, he begins like that. Adveshta means one who is non-envious. And the second quality is sarvabhutanam maitraha karuna evacha. So sarvabhutanam means towards all living entities. Maitraha karuna indicates who is a kind friend. So Srila Prabhupada translates that as being that a devotee is one who is a kind friend to all living entities. So being kind, being compassionate to all is an inseparable feature of the personality of a pure devotee. And therefore, great devotees are always looking for ways and means to show compassion on everybody. And therefore they travel everywhere, taking great inconvenience upon themselves, sometimes tolerating physical inconveniences, mental inconveniences, and simply for the sake of sacrificing themselves. Dadhichi Rishi, whose statements we read out in the beginning, was one such sage. He eventually even gave up his very body for the well-being of the demigods, because the demigods were devotees of the Lord. So therefore Dadhichi said, "All right, my life has become perfect now, because at least I am being useful to somebody. At least I have used my body for the well-being of all of you demigods who are so exalted because you are devotees of Lord Krishna." So, I think what I will do is I will leave some time for questions now, and next time I will actually talk about what true compassion is and what misplaced compassion is, because that is a very important distinction that we need to know as devotees. Otherwise, we may end up getting entangled in the material world in the name of being compassionate to others. So today I just wanted to establish the principle of compassion, what it means and how it is an integral part of our mentality as devotees, and how we should cultivate this. Next time I will try to speak about what true compassion is and what misplaced compassion is, and also I will try to speak a little bit about how this compassion is exhibited in the personality of great devotees. So I think we'll stop here in order to give some time for discussion. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes, Rasala. Rasala Prabhu. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Much thank you for your enlightening session. I would like to bring the same point into discussion which you just mentioned regarding by practicing Krishna consciousness, all the good qualities manifest in our heart and consciousness.
Yes.
I mean, there are two thoughts about this, Maharaj. One thing is, when we practice Krishna consciousness, generally hearing and chanting, there's a purification of the heart. And by the mercy of Krishna, the qualities come and descend into your heart and your consciousness. So there's no separate endeavor is required. Maharaj, could you please extend to this point and explain this again, Maharaj? Because people or devotees only think, if we just practice Krishna consciousness, automatically all the good qualities will come because of the purification of our practices.
Yes, automatically all devotional qualities will come by what? By practicing devotional service. And as Srila Prabhupada explains, that one of the elements of that practice of devotional service is to try to cultivate these qualities by practice. So, in as much as all these good qualities will come by chanting and hearing, yes, but the process of devotional service also involves consciously practicing the development of and the cultivation of these qualities. Okay? So Prabhupada was very clear in the purport to the first verse of the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Okay? So we must consciously practice. For example, now, if it's, you know, we see somebody who's a new devotee, okay, and the new devotee commits a mistake, so we wouldn't get angry with a senior devotee because we say, well, you know, as a senior, I can't get angry with that person like this, but because it's a new person, we feel I can take the liberty of becoming angry or acting in a way that may not be good for that devotee. So here is an opportunity for us now to practice compassion and be kind upon that person rather than acting in an oppressive way, or instead of getting angry with that person, try to be kind. So it's an opportunity to practice that. So Krishna will present us innumerable opportunities in our day-to-day life to practice the cultivation of all the transcendental qualities. So we shouldn't just rest easy thinking, anyway, I'll just chant Hare Krishna and all these qualities will come. So when the practical situations appear in day-to-day life, then I can just say, no, I'll wait till the chanting of Hare Krishna brings out the quality of compassion in me. No. Both have to go simultaneously. All right? Okay. Yes, Ambika Devi Dasi. Yes, please ask your question.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for this wonderful class. I wanted to ask that when we practice this compassion and humility towards others, then, like, it's very common that it doesn't manifest outside in the world. And we are easily maybe taken advantage of, drawn down. So how can we protect ourselves from that situation?
Being compassionate to others doesn't mean that we always allow ourselves to be destroyed. Maharishi Dadhichi's example is rather unique, and it's not something that we can try to imitate artificially. Self-preservation for the sake of rendering service to Krishna is very important, and therefore, when we are compassionate to other living entities, we also have a duty to see that we are not excessively harmed in the practice of our own Krishna consciousness. It is often seen amongst devotees that they burn themselves out in trying to serve the devotees and Krishna in general, and with the result that they fall sick and then they are not able to do their service properly. and they're not able to preach or even chant properly because of ill health. So in the act of being compassionate to other living entities, one must not forget to be compassionate to oneself either. Because if one is not in a good state physically, mentally and spiritually, then one will not be able to help others. So one also has to have a realistic estimation of one's own situation in the act of being compassionate to others. Okay, and one last question, Chaitanya Priya. Yes.
Hi Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for this wonderful class, Maharaj. Maharaj, as you said in the class, that we should feel compassionate towards others when they are suffering, and we should feel happy when they are also happy. This happens sometimes, but when we know the person, like if for example, if the person is too much cunning or a little bit of like crook, and if something happens to him unfavorably, but internally I feel that, okay, this, he deserves this. So how can I change this attitude towards others, Maharaj?
You know, compassion is not compatible with envy. Whilst a person who has been acting in an inappropriate way, let's say by being cruel to others or something like that, and if something happens to that person that causes pain to him or her, intellectually we may appreciate or we may recognize that this is the result of his or her own doings, and that this is necessary for that person's purification and proper understanding, so that that person can progress in Krishna consciousness. At the same time, one should not feel happy about it. One should not feel happy that the person is suffering, even though one intellectually appreciates that perhaps that was what was required for that person. But one feels that it need not have come to this. The person need not have gone through this suffering. It is an unfortunate reality of material existence that until such things happen, we don't learn a lesson. But that doesn't mean that we should be happy. We just recognize that, yes, okay, this has happened. But still, we should reach out to that person, and that is what compassion means. We should not let the fact that this person had behaved badly in the past come in the way of us reaching out to that person, when that person may be genuinely in need of such an outreach at that point. Okay, so I think it is past 8:30, and that is that we have covered our time. So thank you all very much. And I think I'm seeing you on which day? Friday, perhaps. Yes, Friday. So, all right. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.